Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
To the Manliness with me, Nick Noyes. I want to start off with shouting out, giving respect to my man from Wergi Productions, who does all the production for me. I also kind of realised that I've released a few episodes for season two now. I should be saying things like, my kids are like banging to YouTubers, and they always go, Please subscribe. So please subscribe if you're digging what we're talking about. And today I've got someone I've never met before, and I've literally just met as we spoke beforehand, but it is Leon Helsby. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it, right? Mate. Yeah, you got Leon. Thanks for having me.
So you got in touch with us ages and ages ago. I think Brad initially spoke to you on email or whatever. And you said that you really wanted to come on. Tell us about why you wanted to come on. I think that's the best place to start.
I saw you guys were doing stuff in Essex, and I saw you do something with Pet Needs, I think, or watch something you did with Pet Needs.
Yeah.
And at the time I was putting out a single and I was thinking, what could I do to sort of talk about the single and maybe advertise it? And because the single was about my friend who took his own life a couple of years ago, and then you guys talk about mental health and how it's important to talk about stuff, I just thought it would sort of fit together quite well. And I thought, I'll come on and maybe I'll talk about the song and then meet you guys. And, you know, I thought it'd be quite a cool thing to do. So that's why I got in touch.
Yeah, I like it. I like it very much. I've spoken about my own issues with suicidal thoughts and feelings. You know, I've been plagued with that most of my life. Not so much past year, maybe, but that's been saying this a topic that is very, very close to my heart.
Yeah.
And it's a topic that people don't like talking about. You know, it's fucking scary. Everyone gets really uncomfortable around it. And I often think, I don't understand why people don't feel like it all the time. It's always kind of blows my mind. It's like, life's pretty difficult. And often life feels pretty fucking pointless anyway. So I don't understand why people aren't constantly racked to it like I am. But so what happened with your mate then? Do you mind me asking?
No, it's fine, yeah. I mean, we were friends. When was it? We lived together, me and him and my brother, about 2004, 2005. So we were quite thick as thieves then, doing stuff together. And then sort of life moved on. I got married, and then he got married and moved away and went to Australia. So went to Australia, met a girl, got married. And then just sort of tried to keep in touch. But it's difficult, isn't it, with so far away. It was sort of quite difficult to keep in touch. So we didn't really keep up that much. And then just out of the blue, we just heard. And I was just in a pub garden in a in Malden. And then just like, it just, my wife got the call, and then just, don't know, it's just the most surreal thing that could ever happen. Just like, I knew something terrible would happen because she was just white. Yeah. And then she just said what he'd done. And I just couldn't believe it, because I just thought I thought that's wrong. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done that kind of thing, you know? So I think, you know, that thing you see in the papers a lot of the time when someone's done it, and then people pipe up and say it's completely out of the ordinary. And it was exactly like that. Exactly like that. Because it was just never would have, he never, and that, I guess that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
He never really talked about stuff, never really got down that much for too long. He was quite good at bouncing back and was quite good humoured about stuff that happened. Never really seemed to get him down that much. Yeah. You know, and I guess that's probably the point, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
So I guess that happened, and then, and the weirdest thing about him being away is that you can't go through the usual rite of passage to kind of process it.
Yeah.
Because he's away, you can just fool yourself that he's just there still, getting on with his life, and like, you don't get to do the rite of passage, the funeral, you don't get to do that thing. So you're kind of stuck in this limbo. Mm. So I guess that's another reason why, how important it was for me to do a song, to feel like, I think every time I played it, I was like, every time I played it, I was like, hope that it would become more real and sink in by the end of it, you know? It's 'cause, and it didn't. And the only time it did is when I recently did a Facebook live stream, and it was songs for Steve, and it was just cover versions of his favorite songs. And doing that felt like it was it felt like I'd moved from where I was before, you know, because it was like a ritual that I had to kind of create to get past it, I suppose. So that's what happened, and that was 2 years ago. Crazy. And like,
it's crazy that I think, you know, like you said that it always seemed like someone who bounced back, and even for me it's kind of weird, like I find that kind of quite strange and disconcerting, really, because I think most people knew that I, well, it's funny enough, when I started doing this podcast, people were like, I never knew you felt like that.
Yeah.
I think people kind of knew that I got down about things. Mm. So you could kind of put it together a little bit. But if you'd kind of lived with it for a few years, especially, you think you'd get a measure of a person.
Yeah.
And then, evidently there's much more going on, and he didn't talk about it. Which people just don't. And it's just amazing now, just talking about it can make all the difference. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's so fucking heartbreaking, man. I think, like, doing a song about him like that, though, is... I know what you mean. Like, I think there's a bit about your... what's the word? In some ways, you're making it real. You're kind of laying it down, saying it's real. It's kind of happened, and, it's like, not a testament to the person, but you're kind of bowing your head and giving a bit of respect to that you would maybe do at a funeral.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a lovely idea.
I think it's just interesting thing. I think the interesting thing about it is that the funny thing about writing songs is that, I don't know if you write songs, but sometimes they just seem to just come to you, and they just flow through you, you know, like, and so it just come out of nowhere. And I think we have to create things. We have to, because it's funny, because I was talking to a wife about this. When someone dies, you do things, but it's not for them, is it? Because they're gone. So yeah. It's like, it's a funny thing, isn't it? It's like, but you do it for yourself, because you need to, and you do it for them, but they're not there. So it's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you said the ritual of it,
Yeah.
And I think like that's a really good way of describing it, because yeah, the ritual, the standard ritual, is like you go through that, and in some way, because you've done the ritual, it feels like it, like you've kind of capped it in some way. But often, like emotionally, you know, that's not the case, is it? Emotionally, it's still going on. You know, like in many ways, you never, like, you know, some people never get over the death of like a loved one.
Yeah,
but you just learn to cope. So yeah, you never feel that, you never feel that void in many ways. It's still kind of there, but you just kind of learn to manage, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's fucking tough.
Yeah, and I guess I mean, I've never had anyone really die who was close to me ever, really. I've never had that. So I'm lucky. People who have died before, like grandparents and stuff, I've never been close to. So it was someone who was my age, and like, and then I think the violence of the death probably adds to it, doesn't it? Because it makes you, because you're sort of shocked,
yeah,
confused, and you're like angry and like upset, and you just think, I don't know, it's just a real kind of like mixture of things, and also just confused. I think I'm not, for ages I was just sort of in shock. I think I was in shock until I did the live stream like 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, a few weeks ago, and then when it was done, it's like felt a bit of a release from it, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's just highlights to me how high the stakes are, so high, aren't they, with like talking about stuff like how you've created a podcast to sort of, for people can talk about their mental, guys can talk about their mental health and stuff, and you think it's a nice thing to have written down, isn't it? But at the same time, it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
huge, and you think, and also by talking about it, you kind of like, it makes it smaller, and it makes it easier to hold, and people can start to feel like they can express themselves, maybe. So that's why it's such a...
Yeah, that's kind of... Yeah, that's the hope, really, is that people will hear other people talking openly about it and realise that it's not... That you can, you know, you can talk about it. Like, it took me... talking, like, real honestly about suicide to people, like, it took me quite a long time to be able to do that. Because, people get really scared. They're either... Like, they get angry with you because you're talking about it, and they're like, but what about us? Like, I say it to my wife, you know, and she's like, but what, I'm not enough. And it's like, it's really not that. It's like, it's how much, it's completely different to that. Yeah. It's like, it's like a set, whole separate world. But you can't really put it into words either.
No.
I can understand why people struggle to talk about it. But talking about it has been my salvation, really. That's the thing that's really sorted me out, really, with all mental health. So you were saying that before we started that I think kind of like, so you're, how old are you, Leon?
I'm pretty old, but I just look young, 41.
Oh, you're younger than me.
But I'm babyface, 41-year-old.
Yeah, you're younger than me. So you were saying that you're kind of married, you got kids.
Yeah, yeah.
How many kids you got?
Two girls.
Two.
Yeah, they're 12 and 9.
Same age as mine. Fucking hell. Yeah, so I kind of, it's funny because like me, you've got family, children, work full time.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're still trying to kind of make, like, do your dream.
Yeah.
Do your dream of you. It's really taxing, isn't it? It really is. I've tried to do that for years, really. And I suppose I still am. You know, doing this is like still trying to do your dream. Yeah. And you're like, you're basically always working.
Yeah. It's a tough one. How do you balance it all?
I'm still working on that. I found as my kids got, like, initially when my kids were a lot younger, like, there was just no way, like I always played in bands and things, so like I took a few years out of doing anything, really, because there was just no way I was going to be able to, like, leave my wife with, you know, young kids and go and do my own thing. It just felt too selfish. And it pissed her off, so I didn't really do it. But then I found when they got a bit older, it's a bit easier, and then you can start pursuing your shit again.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I find that I can balance it, like, time-wise. What I struggle with, and it's kind of what I used to struggle with when I did music, like, before I was married, like, doing, like, really big gigs and things, and then going to work the next day. And you're like, you get this massive buzz from, like, performing, and then you go to work, and then someone's having a go at you for not doing the silliest of things. And you're like, it's really, really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
So you must have some of that going on.
I think it's just, I like the things, I like my job, I like working with people, and like, it's always just, for me, it's about like, you kind of want to play and you want to write good songs and you want to play to more people, yeah. And you want to, but it's your kind of like, I don't know, when people start, I think people think that you're going to get loads of haters or something like that. Or it's good, but it's actually, that's not the thing. The thing you need to struggle with, the thing you struggle with the most is indifference. Because most of the time, you know, it's like, it's just indifference, you know. So, because I've played gigs, it's just play to like no one. So like, so it's more like constantly the question, why am I doing this? And I think like, I think you have to... You have to get to the point of thinking, I have to just be doing it for me, for myself.
Yeah.
I can't, as soon as I start to think about other stuff, then it starts to become a chore and a pain and all that stuff. So, yeah, I guess that's the battle, I suppose.
That's a good lesson for life, though, you know. Like, I have to tell myself that all the time. Like, doing this even, like, I'm, you know, don't look at numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, why are you doing it? Like, what is your actual goal here? And if my goals I'm achieving. But if I start thinking any further than that, it's like it becomes, you know, I can get down about things.
Yeah.
And you're right, yeah, you have to do it for you. You know, like, most of all, like, what does it give you? And it gives you something special. And performing is pretty special, isn't it? Like, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still play in your band? I think you play in a band, don't you? Do you still do that?
I did until, just before lockdown, maybe a little bit before that. We'd just been we've been rehearsing quite regularly, done quite a few little gigs, but just realised that, like, most of us had played together when we were in our, like, late teens and 20s, when we were like hustling and trying to kind of get signed and that kind of thing, like fucking bussing up to London like a few times a week and that kind of thing. And then it was just that kind of realization that, like, why are we doing it? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, after like 3 years, say, of just playing songs over and over, after a while, it just gets a bit like, oh, it's a bit of a pain in the ass. And I think we all kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
I'm working on doing some other stuff. What I tend to do now is, if, like, I'll say to someone, oh, you've done that? Oh, let me put a bit of guitar on it. And, like, more often not, people are like, pretty cool with that. So I tend to do a little bit of that now.
Yeah.
And I quite like doing that because there's no stakes, you know. It's just like, I'll record it or I'll go around there and, like, we'll just kind of work on something for a bit, which I kind of quite like. But it's nice having a band.
Yeah.
Do you do most things on your own? I did see you do some stuff with other people.
For about the last year or so, I've been trying to do my, like, solo stuff with a band. So I had a drummer, and that in itself is a task to try to get people. So I had a drummer, great drummer, brilliant. And then I found this guy called Will, and he plays bass and he can play piano as well. Brilliant. And I was like, well, let's try and get a guitarist. And I couldn't find anyone for about a year. So then this year before lockdown, my brother came on board again. And then Will's brother, Simon, who's like this multi-instrumentalist guy, he came and played a bit of saxophone and a bit of piano. It's crazy. And I was like really excited about it. And then lockdown happened. So lockdown happened and just kind of put everything, the knockings on everything. So it was really coming together, I was really pleased. I was like, this is going to sound so good. And then obviously everything stopped. But the good thing about, I don't know, the good thing about just, I can just play just me. So that's a good thing. Like, I can set up like live streams, which I did, like when I was, you know, for the whole time of like lockdown. And I can still go and play. And there's something nice about just going and tipping up on your own and thinking, simple, I've got a guitar, I'll just go and play.
Yeah.
But the experience is better with a band.
Yeah, you feel it in your chest and that, don't you?
And then also it's such a lovely experience to take something like you've just done on a guitar and then people add bits in and it just becomes this, I don't know, it changes and then you almost like start to enjoy it because people start adding bits in that you wouldn't have expected.
Yeah.
So like, I always put that in. Oh, that sounds amazing. And those are bits that my favorite bits of the songs, the bits that other people have added in. That riff sounds so good. Or that, I love the way that he's decided to play the drums on that bit. So yeah. So hopefully, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any more live gigs is there for the rest of this year, but I think we're getting back to studio probably mid July and might try to record some songs, maybe just work on some new songs, I think. Yeah. So it's great experience having a band, but every now and then I'll think, sod it, I'm just going to go and do my own thing. Just so I don't have to worry about anyone else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. I can understand why a lot of people do that. I did have a band before and I sang in it and it was really, really heavy, a bit like kind of Queens of the Stone Age or something. And I sang in it and I was fucking confident as hell on stage. Like, you know, I really didn't care. But there's no way, like, I'd get up and do like a kind of open mic, me and an acoustic.
No.
I think that's the most scary thing. And I was with anyone for doing that. Yeah, I think that's really, really scary. Because I'm pretty confident, like, a lot of the time. But I don't know, something really vulnerable about it.
Yeah.
I find really frightening.
So what was it about being in a band? Did you felt sort of like, almost like protected or something? It was like a shield? It's because you got everyone there.
It didn't really matter what I sounded like, really, because the guitars were so fucking loud. You know, like, it was all about energy rather than about, like, it was about energy and riffs. And nailing people to the wall rather than, like, my fucking singing. And I never used to write the words down. All I had was, I'd have a chorus, and then I used to have a melody, and I'd make it up as I went along.
Right, okay.
But they were never the same. And I kind of like that as well, that, like, you know, it's kind of chaos in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So how do you deal with, like, do you get nervous when you go out and sing?
Yeah, all the time. And I think, every time I think, why did I agree to this? It's like, that's what I think beforehand. I think I do that every time. I think I probably did it before I spoke to you. I was like, why did I agree to do this? And like, because, and I think like, and I, yeah, I, but I think that's why I book things like in advance. I think I put myself forward for stuff. But then, yeah, I always get nervous. I always think something's going to go wrong. I always get nervous, but I feel like I've got better at it the more you do it. Like, I know that stuff's not going to go right because I think it's Frank Turner said, it's stuff goes wrong all the time in gigs. Nothing's ever perfect. It won't ever be perfect. So you just accept that. And like, and also I feel like if I can like just concentrate and just connect to the song I'm playing, then I'll be able to do it. As soon as I start to think this is me on stage, then I'll start to get self-conscious and then I'll start to mess up. So it's a funny thing. It's like, if I start to get self-conscious, worried, then I'll mess up. If I start to enjoy myself too much and think I'm a bit of a rock star and start throwing some shapes, then I'll mess up. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's like a state where I have to be, you know, I don't know, I don't know what the word is.
Yeah, like a balancing in the middle there, like kind of into it, but not too into it.
Not too into it. And then just have to just, I don't know, don't jump ahead. Just like, focus on the song. And then I think I'm really bad at I think the last gig I did, I just didn't even talk between the songs. I just sometimes you just can't be bothered. It was just really rubbish. You should just go up there and say, hey, this song's called this, and they just do like that. But I just I think that time I just couldn't be bothered with that. And we just played the songs and didn't speak to about four songs in. Not because I was trying to be mysterious or anything, just because I just couldn't be bothered with that part of it.
You know what though? That was always my formula. Normally, like in bands I played in before, the formula normally is three songs, bash, then right, sound.
Okay. Oh, okay, that's cool.
There you go, hit them with three good fucking, like three of your best. Yeah. Save big ones a bit and middle out, but like don't engage too much, just bang, next song, bang, next song. Thanks for coming out. That's kind of how I normally, like, and that always seemed to work quite well. And like when you see like a lot of big bands, they tend to do that. Like they don't. Yeah. They won't really engage that much to start with. They just go, let the songs do that. Give everyone something to get excited about first.
Because it's a funny thing, because it's not as if you can like make jokes really, because people can't really hear you anyway a lot of the time. So all you can do is introduce the song. I don't know. You just do what you do, don't you?
Yeah.
Just to enjoy it. And I think that's the thing, is I try to enjoy it now. I actually enjoy it, to think I'm going to enjoy it. And yeah, and just be, I think that's the key. And most of the time I do, so that's good. Maybe a few years ago when I used to do it, I didn't used to like it for some reason, but I don't know. But now I enjoy it. I think it's great fun.
It's, I find it really cathartic, really, performing. Just because someone said to me once that whenever I'm playing, normally I'm just like, I'm just on guitar, I'm not singing or nothing. And like, I get really into it. I totally like throw myself into it. And like, I've been messing around with pedals and I'll make loads of mistakes, but like not bad mistakes. Like I pretty much, like I won't be trying to play everything right. I'm just trying to play what feels good.
Yeah,
and I get really, really into it. Like, I my head will be down. I'll throw myself around, and I get. And one of my friends said to me, "This was even like only like a couple of years ago." He was like, "You look like you're yourself when you're doing right. that. You look like you're where you should be."
Yeah.
Because but I find it like really like I'm exercising all those demons. You know, like. When I'm on stage, it's like it's the only opportunity when I can like really let everything out. And yeah. I feel like I don't let anything out anywhere else. I do it sometimes when I play guitar on my own, because I don't really have another release. You know, it's like I've never done any kind of activities, so it's like if I'm angry, it just sits there until I do a gig, and then it just fucking flies out of me, and. It normally works out quite well because it's like putting on a show.
Yeah, like, yeah, definitely.
I used to play in my 20s. It was like we were putting on a show, so it was great. So it's like the best feeling. But then afterwards, like I'd quite often be like, I'd be buzzing, and then like the next day it'd be like I might as well just done fucking 500 quid's worth of cocaine, because the next day I'd just feel like come down like you wouldn't believe. Right.
Okay.
And like, that balance was always really hard. That like often like in my 20s, I drank like every day through my 20s, and a lot of that was because of that kind of thing. And then all those things about we're not making it. You know, I want to make it. I don't want to have to do what I'm doing. I don't want to have to go to work. Like, and then what is making it? You know, I suppose making it is not having to go to work, but you still have to work because it's music's a job, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I think like, I mean, even when I was listening to something the other day, I think Kelly Jones was saying that even when you get the record deal, that's just the start. Even if you did get it, that's just the start. And then even like, he was like a few albums in, you've still got to keep proving yourself. You don't ever stop, really, that side of things.
I spoke to someone on here the other day, and my producer, Worky, thank you. Well, I say my producer, my friend who helps me. said to me that I shouldn't mention other guests too much because like I'll put them like then it might kind of fuck up the way they come out. But anyway, I was talking to a very successful musician, and it weren't Frank Turner, it was someone else, and he was saying that he got a record deal, like did really, really well, yeah. But the insecurity that goes with it is just insane, because even if you play a gig, like it's like support bands trying to be better than you, so you've got to be better than them. And well, you go and see like a band you love and you're like, I'll never be that good. And then he said when they had their hit single, that was when everything went wrong, because it was like then they were trying to do another hit single, yeah. And they'd forgotten about why they did it in the first place. And he mentioned, he said, if you get to a point like the Stereophonics, then you, wherever you play, your crowd comes with you.
Mm.
But if you're not at that kind of point, then you're still always trying to kind of create a crowd.
Yeah.
And that is like relentlessly difficult. And it's only like the, you know, a handful of bands who actually kind of get to that point.
Yeah.
There's so many fall by the wayside along the way. And all this stuff was, like, I spent my whole life wishing I was a rock star, you know, and like, I still kind of am in my head. And having that conversation just sorted it all out somehow, because I spent all my time thinking I want to be a rock star, I shouldn't be doing this, and then hearing that actually it's fucking hard work and it's a nightmare, and you're really lucky if you get to a point where it's not, you know, if you get to like Dave Grohl and everyone's doing everything for you anyway.
Yeah.
So it kind of made it almost ended the chapter for me.
Yeah.
In quite a nice way. And then it's like, but then yeah, I'm still drawn to the guitar. Look, I've got guitars behind me. I've been playing before I come out. Look, I've got guitars everywhere. I'm obsessed with guitars. So, do you ever struggle with your mental health at all? Do you ever have like issues?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, I was only just come out of a bit of a low, to be honest. Like, just this week. But about probably 2 weeks of feeling a bit like this persistent kind of low feeling. And I feel like, I don't know, it's a funny, I don't know if it's like this for you, like, but when you're, or whether you have it or not, like when you get low, when you go down that, down there,
yeah.
It's almost like you forget, you think, actually think, I can't imagine not feeling this way. Do you know what I mean? I can't imagine actually coming out of this now. I don't know if I'm going to, you know what I mean? Maybe, you know, and then also, once I get out of it and I get far away from it, I forget what it's like to be depressed actually as well. So I get to both those places and I say to my wife, you know what, I feel great. I don't feel I've ever feel depressed again. I can't even remember what it's like. And then you obviously go back there again, don't you? Because that's the way it kind of goes. Like, so it's, I feel like it's, and then anxiety, he's probably always there. I didn't actually realise I had anxiety probably till a couple of years ago, because I just didn't drop. And then you're like, something happens, you're like, oh, I've always felt this way. I was always like, you know, when I was like 10 years old, 12 years old, like out with my mates thinking, oh, we're going to get beaten up in a minute. That kind of thing, you know, like, so like.
You know, it's so fucking weird you say that, because like I had the same experience a while ago when I thought, shit, I think I have anxiety. You know, I've got anxiety, like, you know, like the terrible, terrible form of anxiety, but anxiety of a sort.
Yeah.
In where you kind of just a bit worried, a bit on edge, and like you saying that, I used to feel like that all the time. Like, we're gonna get nipped, or we're gonna get beaten up. You know.
Yeah.
And I used to feel like that all the time when I was younger.
Yeah, but I just didn't sometimes it takes so long for the penny to drop for me, and it was like I didn't realize it was in my, I don't know how many it was, 10 years ago. So I'm like, oh, I'm terrified, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And like, it's a funny, I don't know, it's a, I think like I feel like they're different things, like anxiety and depression are different, because depression is like I'm gonna put a massive load on you, do you know what I mean, and you're gonna be feel like you're sinking and feel like you can't, and also feel quite irritable. And then with anxiety, it's just, your imagination is going to go into overload, and I'm going to tell you all the bad things that could happen, and then I'm going to fire them at you, boom, 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 sort of thing. So,
you know what? They're not. They're the same.
You feel like they're the same thing.
Physiologically, they are the same thing. So the idea, depression. They say depression is about the past, and anxiety is worried about the future. So depression is, oh, this happened, and then you anxiety is you worrying about what's going to happen. But essentially, they're the same thing, as in your brain is doing a similar kind of thing. Your brain is, it's protecting you by saying, oh, well, careful about that, because you remember what happened then.
Yeah, yeah.
So they actually kind of tie in quite nicely. They're like really good mates. They work together.
They are a good tag team. They are a good tag team.
They're quite similar. You know, you said about that you'll, when you come out of like a depressive period,
yeah,
and you're happy, and then you're like, oh, I'll never be depressed again, and then you're depressed again. You were probably right until you said, I'll never be depressed again, and then your brain went, oh, remember me? I talk about this all the time. I'm pretty good with it now, but I'd have periods where, actually, to be honest, I've been depressed most of my life, but I only really get this now, is that I think I've cracked it, and then I feel low again.
Yeah.
And the times when I go, I think I've cracked it, is the times when I stop trying to not be depressed. I feel like if I'm always trying not to be depressed, I generally don't get depressed.
Hmm.
The minute I go, I'm all right, and I stop trying not to be depressed because I think I'm all right, that's when I start getting like mentally ill again. And that tends to be like the pattern for me.
Hmm.
Because you kind of, you lower yourself into this kind of false sense of security, and well, I do. But have you had kind of depression? You said you had anxiety from quite a young age.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that tie in with depression?
I don't know. I feel like when I was younger, I was quite quiet. I'm still quite, essentially quite a quiet person, really. I'm quite introverted, really. I was just the same as a kid, really. Yeah. I was in a big family. I felt like I was kind of paying attention a lot from a young age, just sort of sitting back and watching stuff that was happening. I'm not sure about, I don't know. About depression, I don't know. I feel like I know that I was very, very low on confidence. I know that I always felt that. I'd never really felt like from when I was younger. Like I never would have thought that. It's always surprising when someone wanted to be a friend. Do you know what I mean? When you're a kid, which is quite a sad thing. I would hate for my kids to feel that way, to feel like be surprised that anyone wants to be your friend. Do you know what I mean? I don't know where that came from, but it does make me feel sad to think that that's what it was like.
So I think you were saying about like anxiety. Again, where I think it ties in is that if you're feeling anxiety, it's probably because you don't like it, that all kind of ties in with confidence. You know, like if you were super confident, you wouldn't be frightened someone's going to beat you up.
You wouldn't care, would you?
You know, like, you don't care. Yeah. So I think, like, and then after a while, like, that fear, along with your kind of lack of confidence, like, this is exactly what happened to me. So, but with other things going on, but essentially, like, that's the kind of nub of it with me, was that fear of everything else made me then think, oh, I'm really shit, and then not being that confident kid, and that kind of then manifested in this kind of overwhelming feeling that I was rubbish, which is depression, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. I think that definitely, I mean, I never thought I could do anything. I never really thought I could had the belief I could do anything, really. I never thought I could sort of achieve anything, really. I thought that I was just like, I don't know, I just had such little belief in myself. So I feel like growing up, like, even took me such a long time to, like, to finally find some confidence, you know? Yeah. And so that's why it all came late for me, really. I didn't, like... Yeah. I tried to get bands together with my brother when I was like in my 20s, sort of didn't really happen. And by the time I was 30, I'd run out of people to play music with. And that's when I picked up the guitar and started learning guitar then. And like, and so it's like a really slow process to like pick up a guitar, learn a song. Oh, I can learn a song. Play some cover versions. I can do that. Oh, I might do this. And like, it was then, I think, probably when I was about 30, I think I'm going to learn a guitar. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. When I actually started to think, I'm going to do this thing, and I did it. And like one of them was like, there was somebody we knew who had a little boy who had muscular dystrophy, and I thought, I'm going to do something for this family, just raise some money. So I said, I'm going to do an all-day busk. And I'd only really been playing guitar a couple of years, but I thought, I'm going to do an all-day busk. That's what I'm going to do. And then I did it, and it was a massive success. It was really good. And I raised like, I don't know, 1,300 quid or something for this.
Really?
It was really great. And it was just like those little things, you know, like that was the first thing I did that I wanted to do, and I did it, you know? So, and then it was just from then on, stepping stones. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this and do this. And so like, and then it grew to like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to write songs. And then like, oh, I'm going to go out and play songs. And like, I had minimal encouragement from people. Actually, maybe probably like one or two people said, you should do this a bit more. That's all I needed, just one or two.
Yeah.
No one really said, hey, great, this dude. It was never, that never happened. So I feel like I just sort of created it for myself and found some confidence, and it just started to grow. And that's why it's sort of, that's why I'm just happy to be out playing, thinking I can do this. I'm quite proud of that, you know? So I think it just comes when it comes sometimes, doesn't it? Like, I mean, like, it took me years and years and years to get there.
That's why
I do it. I feel like I do it. I do it for me as a kid.
Yeah.
That's what I do it for. I do it for him. Like, just, and that sort of, that's the driving force, you know? So,
it
yeah.
It took a long time to kind of, whenever I was, like, in bands and that when I was younger, I was always following someone else. You know, it was always a mate would say, come play guitar. So I joined the band, and that was pretty much how I did it. And I was always doing it like off of the back of someone else, and I was never really confident enough to do it like myself, which is kind of why I like admire you for like getting up and singing on your own. And then it's only been the past few years where I've started to kind of feel more confident, like in myself, partly for doing the podcast, really. And now I've been confident enough to do it entirely on my own, really.
Yeah.
But like, as you say, it's incremental. Yeah. And now it's like, I've got to make up for all those years, like those 40 years where I was kind of hiding in the corner.
Yeah.
I've got to make up for it now. And I fucking won't be that person again. You know, like, I'm not that person anymore. And, yeah, it's quite true. I'm very, very similar. Were you? Yeah. What month were you born?
March.
So my mum said to me, she says winter babies. She said this recently. She swears by it, and she says winter babies come into their own in the winter of their lives. So they're a part of their lives, and then and that's when you find your own. And
like
the rest of it might be difficult, and I'm happy. So there might be saying in it.
Yeah,
there might be. So how do you deal with it now then? So how do you deal with depressive periods? Do you have long depressive periods?
Not really. This one that I had recently was probably the longest, because it was about 2 weeks. You know, it's like though in lockdown now, it's really hard to like actually figure out what month where we are, because I don't know what it's like for you, but it feels like it's simultaneously dragging and going fast. So it's like you're basically just, so I think it was 2 weeks, I think it was a couple of weeks, and I just I think like, how do I get, like last week I just flipping went to bed early, and I just went to bed at like 10 o'clock. Didn't look at my phone before bed, 10 o'clock, bed, boom. And then like just trying to do those things because I know that I'm much better when I've had some sleep. Yeah. Because the only thing is just to wait. I said this to my wife, I have to wait for it to pass, just wait for it to go away. I can't go, almost like I don't know what else to do other than just to wait for it to go away. I know it will go away, and like, but I just have to just wait.
That's the key though there, man. That's the key, is that it will go away. It does go away. It does pass. And if it don't pass, you have to go to the doctors.
Yeah.
Go get some fucking pills. That's what I have to do. Because I'd sit in depressive episodes for 5 years, you know, quite easily. But now, if I start getting depressed, I'm like, right, I'm not doing something, so I need to do something about it. And quite often it is like I have to go to doctors.
Yeah,
I need to change meds now because I'm not well again, and I can't fucking function. And I just sleep. I just sleep all the time. But it's funny, you know, like this is part of the reason why I started to think there's something in the anxiety, because being anxious a lot really fucking wears you out. Because your brain is like on overload. You're not physically, but it makes you physically tired. And I didn't really know that until fairly, you know, the last few years. Is that it really, really wears you out. And then when you get really fucking worn out, you get depressed.
Yeah.
Because you're like, it's that kind of like hyper, it's almost like anxiety, hypertension, and it fucking brings you down. And it's really, really difficult. It's really difficult. So sometimes it's like worth. So do you get as anxious as you used to?
I feel like it's probably got a little bit worse recently if I've been locked down all the time.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like anxiety grows like in isolation anyway. So like, I think I always said that I could easily be one of these people who just stays in. Do you know what I mean? Never goes out. Cause like, but like, so I feel like going out is like, I don't know, I guess it's probably always there. Like you go out and see people, even taking the dog for a walk, you think, I don't know, I sometimes think something bad's going to happen. They're thinking bad things about me. And it's just, I feel like the paranoid, crazy thoughts are kind of like a little bit worse. Because of recent things. I think that they're a lot better. I'm a lot better when I've slept well and not really drunk much. I think I'm a bit better then. But I don't know, I feel like I did have some CBT for the anxiety, but when it was going quite well, but it just got screwed up with everything that happened with coronavirus because everything stopped. So it's because I've seen the guy, and then we're having phone stuff on the phone, and then he just had to stop it because I think they were, I don't know what they were doing, but they just had to stop. So, and that was going quite well, and he actually did help. He told me a few things, and they made sense. Oh, that makes sense. You know, like some of the CBT stuff I quite liked actually, and it seemed to connect quite well with me. But unfortunately, it did stop. But yeah, so.
I think the thing is about like the current kind of lockdown situation is that it's a false thing. I kind of have to remind myself that this is a false environment. It's not like a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a temporary thing, and it's not something that's going to go on forever. So it feels like it is, and it's a long time, but it's like a fake thing. Just now, and that I kind of think, well, I could deal with things for a period of time, and that's cool. Don't think about it as being like necessarily that real, as in not like it's a conspiracy, but as in, you know, it's just now. It's not like real forever, and it's not a tangible thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of just tick along with that, but I find. Like just being out, being sociable is quite good for me. Like I find coming in into my cave and chatting like with you for a bit, like afterwards I feel much better, just generally. Yeah. My spirits will be lifted just because I've been sociable.
Yeah.
Like being sociable is like it's really easy to kind of not not see how important that is to us.
Yeah, but definitely. Yeah.
We're sociable animals, we kind of need to be out and around people, and those, you know, just little chats and, you know, seeing people smile and they respond to you and that gives you some kind of self-validation and all those things are actually really important to our psyche. But you kind of, you don't really realise it because, you know, it's just normal.
Mm.
But, like, yeah, you kind of need it. And I think, and one of the things that really helped me was just trying to just be present with where I am. So, you know, I was saying, like, the idea that anxiety is like the worry about the what ifs and the future, and that's my therapist said, like, that's your brain doing its job well.
Mm.
Like your brain's meant to be looking for problems because it's like your risk assessor and your protector, but we've evolved, like that part of our brain hasn't changed since cavemen, but we've evolved to a point that we don't need to be worried about everything because we're not going to get eaten by a fucking bear or something.
Mm.
But our brain still does it.
Yeah.
So, but we don't have to hear it. I've kind of got to a point where I've got a bit more zen about it, and I just don't feel like I don't really hear it in the same way. That bit of my brain is going, oh, you need to worry about that, and what ifs, and what ifs, and like, I kind of tune out of it a bit.
Right.
But I don't fight it. So if my brain's being a bit of an arse and telling me that I'm shit, I'm like, all right, that's your opinion. You know, like internally, that's your opinion. That's fine. I know you're only looking out for me. You know, it's like when your mum nags at you, and you're like, she's worried about everything, and you know that she doesn't need to be worried about all those things. And you go, well, that's all right, Mum. Thank you, though. You know, I appreciate that you care. And that's kind of how I approach all those kind of feelings now. It's like, no, it's all right. Like, my brain's just looking out for me. I don't need to engage in a battle or a conversation with it, you know, internally, because that just wears me out and makes me depressed. I just go, oh, that's all right. Thank you. But, like, you know, I don't need to worry about any of that because, you know, the world's not, you know, prehistoric. And that really helps me, just that really basic little concept of, I don't need to hear it, you know. Like, you can, like, that's just part of your brain. There's a whole other part of your brain that could go, oh, that looks nice. You know, like, so I try and go, I try this really hard, and like, I do find it difficult, but, like, the being present, just rather than going, worrying about that, I just try and think about the things that are around me. You know, like, oh, I can smell the grass, you know, like shit like that. And I just go, things around me are quite nice. Oh, what? Oh, I've got a nice guitar. You know, like that kind of thing. And just kind of bring myself into the now, because that kind of idea that if I start thinking about the past, I'll get depressed. And if I start thinking about what's ahead of me, I'll get worried and then I'll get depressed.
Yeah,
and I just try and bring it all into the now, and go and just try and really not ignore, but just accept that my brain does that, and just not engage with it. And I don't know. That's a concept I think is worth messing around with.
Yeah, it sounds like a mindfulness thing.
It is. But it's like, it's older than mindfulness. You know? Mindfulness is new. This is there was a fucking Roman philosopher. He was a king. I can't remember his name. St. Augustine, I think. And he was the one who said you can make a hell of heaven or a heaven of hell. As in, you can choose not to let it bother you. Like, essentially, like, that's within our grasp. It's just hard to do, and we just don't do it as standard, do we?
No.
Ah, good bad. Kids are hard work, aren't they? Yeah, I tell you what though, I just, you know, those kind of little concepts like that are really worth. Like, next time things are bothering you or you find yourself getting stressed about things, it's like, you know, I can't, there's so much, you can't do anything about virtually everything.
Yeah, yeah.
See, our therapist was like, you can't, all you can do anything about is what you do and what you think. And that comes back to that heaven and hell thing, is that more often than not, our problems are just because of what we're thinking. You know, very rarely are they real. They're like, it's just what you're thinking.
Yeah.
So you go, well, I'll try not to think in those terms. Then it's a lot easier. So that's what I do. That's how I deal with it. And I have to say, it's fucking working. Because it's really, really made a massive difference for me. Because quite often, like, my brain will start being a cock, and then I'll go, oh, my brain's being a cock. You know, I don't realise for a bit. I'm like, oh, I don't need to, like, hold on, fuck off, no, no. Like, I'm above that now, I've moved on.
Yeah.
Like, I won't do it anymore. And then I kind of remind myself to start thinking about, when I start doing that, I think about a colour, and I think about blue. And then what I do is, say that I'm driving, I'll look for things that are blue.
Mm.
And I associate blue with good and yellow with bad. This is another thing I did with my therapist. And I forget about it all the time, but then I remember it. So I'm driving along and I think, I realise that I'm just being negative in my brain, and I'll go, right, blue. And then when I look around, I see blue everywhere. And it brings me into the present, and I go, blue. Oh, look, that's blue, that's blue, that's blue, that's blue. Oh, and then I get this thing like, blue's behind me, blue's with me. You know, like this idea that blue's good and blue's looking out for me because it's everywhere.
Mm.
They're cool little tips, though.
They are good.
You kind of just go along with it, and you do it, and then you like kind of make yourself do things like that. And then after a while, you're like, oh, I don't do that anymore. Well, that's where I'm at. I really am. It's taken like 2 years doggedly doing things like that.
Yeah.
But I just don't get the grief in the same way now.
Brilliant.
It is a bit CBT-y as well.
Yeah.
In some ways. Kind of retraining your thoughts.
I think I heard someone say once, what is it? Thoughts aren't facts. Anyway, that's one, yeah. It's just a thought in your head. Like you said, it's not real. It's just a, what is it? Just a thing in our head.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's another one my therapist Peter said was like, facts are fiction appearing real or something like that. But thoughts aren't real. They're just your brain conjuring shit up.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to tell yourself that, but that's so true. That is so true. Yeah, that's a good one that I'm going to take away as well.
Yeah.
So what have you got coming up then? Tell us all about your music. You know, you've got stuff on Spotify, haven't you? Because we're coming up to the hour, and I think we should tell everyone where they can listen to you.
Yeah, I've got stuff on Spotify. I did an album just myself in 2018, very, very stripped down, just me in the studio. Just only had the studio for like a day, so then just had to just smash things out in one take. So
quite cool about doing it like that, though.
So I've got that. That's pretty good. I'm quite proud of that. And then I got the single that I did. That's on there as well. You can listen to that there. I'm on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook at the moment. Just Instagram. And then also, what is it? Leon.Helsby Music. Yeah. And then hoping to just get the band together and actually just work on some singles. I think maybe do a couple of singles towards the end of this year. I think. Yeah. And just. Yeah, that's it really. Keep plugging away and then book some stuff for next year. I feel like next year it's going to be a good year. Going to do things a bit differently next year, I think, and just go and just organise my own gigs, I think. Sometimes I try to go through promoters and it's a bit of a headache. So I think I'm just going to go and just do them myself. I think go full DIY, I think.
Yeah, you can totally do it on your own.
Like, I think I'll do that.
Like, I've toured before and done it on our own.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I suppose the good thing about promoters is that they might get people to the gig. But more often than not, they fucking don't do much anyway.
Not really, no. It doesn't really extend to it, I don't think. No. You can just do your own thing. Yeah, so that's the plan. Keep going.
Oh, nice. Oh, thank you so much, man. I've enjoyed chatting with you.
You too, man.
Well, thank you. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, catch you next time. Check out Leon's music, Leon Helsby.
That's it.
It's funny because I kept looking, thinking, I've got to get a set.
I'm going to say his name wrong. That's what you thought.
No, I know. But yeah, check out Leon's music and subscribe to The Mouth of Manliness. And stay in touch, Leon. I've enjoyed it, man. Thank you very much.
Cheers, man. Thanks for having me.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.